Savior, 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 Savior. Glory to God. You may be seated. Well, I know of a truth that God is here. Amen. We're holding this service. Most of you know and realize that the enemy is just encamped round and about us. And it's getting to where in the afternoon services, so many threats, so many problems here, that we more or less have to man the phones in order to really keep things going, to be able to keep it down. But it doesn't make any difference how many rise up against us, according to God, though they be the 10,000. God has said, it is written, and if we stand in a holy place before God, and we will not be denied, then every power in hell shall not shake us. I want to take you back for a few moments this afternoon to the creation. I want to take you back to the Garden of Eden. And I want to show you a duplicate, a positive, of my Christian life and your Christian life that all started right there. The War of Armageddon. The tempter, the insidious power of the evil one to lure and to pull us away from a living God, from His laws, from His desires, and above all to take our eternal soul when this life has finished and we pass into the great beyond. When Satan came into the Garden of Eden, as all of you know, he didn't come with horns. He didn't come dressed in an insidious manner. He didn't come with the talk of a ruffian, of the sound of destruction. But he came as a deceitful, luring, diabolical creature that painted a complete opposite picture of everything that God had said. Had the enemy in the Garden of Eden appeared unto Eve and said, Eve, I am the devil. I am the enemy of your soul. My purpose here to you this day is to cause you to break the laws that God has given to you. My purpose here to you is not only to destroy you, to destroy Adam, but to bring destruction upon all mankind and to, in the end, send their souls to a burning hell. Eve would have fled. She would have been terrified to have imagined that this insidious creature would have the nerve to confront her and to tell her, this is my purpose. I have risen up against the living God. I was in the kingdom of heaven at one time. I know His laws. I know His word. And I know His power. And I have transgressed against the living God. I have risen up against the Creator of the universe. And I have had the nerve to stand before Him with a diabolical message of a wishy-washy church structure. Now that's exactly what it amounts to. If you notice in the writing of the scripture, Satan didn't say, I would be like the chief devil. Did he? He didn't say, I would be like unto one of destruction. He didn't say, I would be a fallen creature that would defy a living God and will be cast out into outer darkness where there will be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. None of these things did he say which are the truth. But he said, I would be like the Most High God. He had a desire for power. He had a desire for rulership. He had a desire to portray the devil. No. God. Right there came your division between reality and God and a fallen church. And people professing to be Christian. You say, why is it that a person who is prone to destroy the body of Jesus Christ, prone to break the laws of God, prone to play with Christianity as if it were some sort of a toy, why do they stay in the church? Why don't they just simply take off and do whatever they want to do? Was it that way in the beginning of time? No. No! The desire that Satan had, I would be like the Most High God. But I would portray an image and yet be nothing but a power of destruction. And he was cast out of the kingdom of heaven. And the next appearance that he made, he didn't come in a grim mask. He didn't come carrying a pitchfork like you see in comic strips. He didn't come with fire shooting out of his mouth, but he came as an angel of light, an angel of mercy, and again portraying the diabolical hypocrite. Amen. Not one time in the scriptures has Satan appeared as anything other than a deceiver. Now we say, what is happening to us today? People that have lived lives of every sin in the world. People that are sick and tired of narcotic addiction. Tired of sin. Tired of the tortures and the burden and the despair of an alienation from a living God. They fall down on their knees before God and they cry out to Him from the very depths of their hearts and their souls, God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and make me a new creature. And suddenly bursting forth as a bud from a rose bush comes a great and mighty rose, kissed by the dews of the eternal God, the tenderness, the softness, the flexibility that God has placed there, and they're a new creature in Christ Jesus. For all things have passed away, and all things have become new in Him. And then comes the tempter. As I look at you today, even though you are young people, but yet not a living God, not a creator, but the living God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the power eternal and everlasting, has made you stewards and stewardesses of the gospel of his Son, Jesus Christ. You are the people gathered here today that will take this gospel to the four corners of the earth, or you are the people who will fail God. You will fall by the wayside. You will bring destruction upon your own soul and that of every other person that you come in contact with. God has made you partakers of the mysteries of the living God. A group of people who are very young in years, but yet many of you so knowledgeable that the scribes, the Pharisees would be put to shame by your knowledge of the mysteries of the living God. God has called you forth, a people out of a people, to establish to eternity. And you're going to carry that ball on across the victory line, or you're going to fail. And you're going to stand one of these days shaking before the living God and give account as to what you have done with this knowledge. If your mother throws you and you follow, you can stand before God in eternity and cry, "I knew it was the truth, Lord. I sat in that church. I felt the power of the living God as it moved among the people. I saw you, God, take us, handful of kids, our minds, many of them almost destroyed. Some of us couldn't even finish a sentence. We were a disgust to the world. But you took us. You changed our lives. You washed us in your own blood. You filled us with your spirit. And suddenly we were something beyond anything the natural human mind could believe to be possible. But my mother threw me. My father, the answer from God to you will be, I never called your mother and your father. I called you. I called you. Your mother and your father didn't have the knowledge and the wisdom in God that I gave to you. But you knew. You knew. Like with this thing that's happening with these kidnappings, how anyone could even allow themselves to be subjected to such a thing as that. An adult filled with the Spirit of the living God could even allow themselves to be subjected to such a thing is beyond anything I can imagine. If I were a young person or even an old person, they would be calling the police on me for protection. I cannot in my wildest imaginations imagine such a thing. The scriptures that they're tossing at these kids are, honor thy father and thy mother. Scriptures given under the law. And at that time, if the parents broke the law, they were taken out before the congregation and sown
stoned to death. So if they're to live by the law, then let's live by all of it. If a part of it applies, then let's live by all of it. But when Jesus came and said, he that will not hate mother or father, now you know perfectly good and well that God is not telling you to hate your mother and hate your father. The true born-again Christian, his life is wrapped up in the salvation of his mother and his father. But he's going to stand tall before God, and he's going to see the salvation of the Lord. Like the policeman. Several years ago, when they became a police officer, they were asked to take an oath that they would arrest their own mother if they caught them breaking the law. And the bleeding heart liberals, when they came to destroy the laws of the land, said, look at that bunch. They'll stand up there and take an oath that they would arrest their own mother and father. What kind of laws would you have if a policeman said, oh, I'm on the police force. I'll get some guns and I'll send my mother and father over to rob the bank. And we can all live happily ever after. They're my mother and my father, so if they break the law, that doesn't make any difference. They're my mother and my father. Does that make any sense to you? That's the same thing these people are saying. When the law becomes selective as to who is to abide by the law, you have anarchy. I looked at the faces today of William Randolph Hearst and his wife, the newspaper magnate. During the time the kids were being kidnapped, they played it up. Jesus freaks, they said, being kidnapped. And now their 19-year-old daughter has been kidnapped out of her apartment near the campus at Berkeley, California. And they're receiving letters, either meet our demands I will execute your daughter. When the laws are broken down to where it is selective in who can break the law and who can't, this is what comes from it, anarchy. It wouldn't make any difference who would stand over me with a Bible, who would quote scriptures to me. I would be like the Apostle Paul. I would say, the Bible says, if even an angel comes preaching any other gospel to me, let him be accursed. That's what the Bible says. If you are to stand, some of you are not going to. You're going to fall away. You're going to become traitors. And you're going to bring much persecution upon others. But many of you will stand. If it means your lives, you'll stand. You'll never waver. It wouldn't make any difference what torture, what persecution you were put through. You'll come out stronger than you went into it, more determined, with a greater desire to fulfill God's word. When we look at all the others before us, Daniel and the lion's den, was the same thing. The people were uprising. The people despised and they hated him because of his devoutness towards God. Because of his declaration, oh, God is truth. Let every man, Daniel said, be called a liar. Let them all be called liars. Daniel, the Hebrews, the rabbis, all of them. Your mother, your father, every one of them. I know in whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him a long time ago. I didn't make that decision today. Daniel didn't make that decision when he came to the door of the lion's den. He made that decision with God a long time before he was ever confronted with the lion. The three Hebrew children. Oh, the world was in chaos and confusion. The old boy from the Garden of Eden had set up little religious houses all over the place. They were going everywhere. You could have anything you wanted. Idol worshiping. A form of worshiping God. Take your choice. It was all there. Any flavor you like, just pick it. But the three Hebrew children said, "Why, it is written. It is written." You mean your mother and father still belongs to some of those houses of worship? Your friends and your family, look what you're doing to them. Look what you're bringing upon them. We will not taste, touch, or smell anything other than what is of God. We will die first. We will die first. Do you realize what fanatics you are? Are you crazy? For heaven's sakes, get out of that mess. All you have to do is just say you were wrong. Why, we love you. We're trying to spare you. Don't you understand that? Why, we wouldn't do anything to hurt you for anything in the world. What we're trying to do is to spare you from these people that are using you. This bunch of fanatics on the outside, why, they don't care if you die. They'll stand by and they'll see you put to death. Why, you're riding the beef for them. Don't be a bunch of fools. Three Hebrew children said, God said, if we take a stand now, we'll establish his word in the land that is dry. And we're going on to victory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I see one like unto the Son of Man. I see one like unto the Son of Man. Yea, he appeared even unto the children, the Hebrew children in that time. There were the ones who established. There they were, the select that said heaven and earth may pass away. But his word will always stand. Walk right on in. Right on in. Knowing that God would keep his word. That he would keep his promise. God is not dead. You're either going to establish to the four corners of this earth. Or you're going to be the greatest destruction force that has ever happened. Because you hold the truth of the gospel. And there isn't any person in this world as bad as somebody that has known the truth and turned traitor. They can put 50,000 other people to shame because they become a tool in the hands of Satan. When Tony and I were run off the highway down here, I saw Tony kicked in the head, knowing that he was blind. It would might possibly mean that he would never see again. Great big drunk standing there with big cowboy boots, kicking him repeatedly in the head. It didn't shake my faith in a living God. It made a fighter out of me. I picked up a 2x4 and laid it into him. The way you bunch of devils out of the pits of hell. And I'm going to tell you something. When I waded into him, I was not alone. 115-pound woman put two drunken thugs on the run. Let's get out of here. This woman is crazy. Let's get out of here. If you will stand firm before God, every devil in hell can't put you down. Do you realize that? You have the power. But if you're a wishy-washy weakling, you're a destruction. There has never been a time in my life. They're after us at the building commission. They're after us at the zoning commission. We've got a bunch of drunks running up and down the highway. We've got a group of revolutionists antagonizing to send crews in to kick off riots and messes. My faith has never been higher in God in my life than it is today. Why, Jesus told you all these things would happen. When you see the desolation, stand where with the devil? Stand in the holy place. Stand with God and defy every devil in hell. You have the power. You have it. God has entrusted the glorious gospel of his Son, Jesus Christ, into the palm of your hand. What are you going to do with it? Are you going to go through? Are you going to turn around? Oh, my God. My Lord and my God. If every man, every woman, every child in the world turns their back upon God, he's never been so great to me in my life as he is today. Hallelujah! Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. We're going to start trying to figure out a way to hold these meetings with our crowd, with our church. I want to say something to you in closing. They're surrounding us. We've got to have more housing. Every able-bodied person, be in those fields this next week. Be out there with a song of victory on your lips. Strong and powerful. You be seeking out the weasel. Be looking for him. Oh, there you are. We've been waiting for you. We've been waiting for you. You pursue us even out onto our jobs. Shame on you. Shame on you. You won't do it again. You won't do it again. Go out there in numbers to where you're backed up. Let's buy their property, amen? Let's buy their property. Let's buy every beer joint up and down this hill and turn it in to a Christian place. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. It's like one of the boys said that they went up to one of these people's house to get a letter, and they said, we don't like Mrs. Alamo saying that we're all rednecks and we're beer joint trash up here. But praise the Lord, it really got them right where they needed to get it. Praise the Lord. I'm no apologist to make to them. That's exactly what they are. The enemies of the living God. Praise the Lord. I have no intentions of getting down on my knees to them. I'll be dead when I do it. I'll stand right there and fight until I die. In closing today, I want every person, we're going to sing, Put Your Eyes Upon Jesus. Get out there this week and work like you've never worked in your life. We don't have anybody behind us to give us money. Let's do it ourselves. Are you saying amen? Yeah. Raise your hands. Let me see the ones that will say, I'll go out there this week. I'll really, really, I'll take things to it. We're going to buy these properties up here. They're not going to force us out. Listen, they don't know what they have on their hands. They don't know what they really have got. By the time they get through with us, they're going to wake up to what they really are contending with. While we sing, Put Your Eyes Upon Jesus, every person,
Start walking down towards the altar. Let's all get down upon our knees. Let's really put our eyes upon Jesus. Let every one of us make a new dedication. Lord, I'm going through because there's victory in Jesus. Hallelujah. Come and sing. Put your eyes upon Jesus.
Glory.
Put your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His beautiful face, and the cares of this world the light of His glorious grace. So put your eyes upon Jesus. Look
Father, Lord, that we know that we have received an answer. We know that you're with us, Lord, and we shall not fail. Oh, God, just pour out your Spirit upon each and every one this week. Wherever you've got them, Lord, even though it may be menial, their bodies may be tired, but give them renewal of the Spirit. Lord, just cup them in the palm of your big nail-scarred hand. Feed them, O Lord and God, from thy table, thy throne in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. You're dismissed.